None worse than a straight Christian, right? You know, it's a command by Jesus. Even Jesus said, look it, don't boogie nowhere from Jerusalem. Don't go nowhere. Stay here. Don't go tell nobody about me until you are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're going to try to tell people about me, but it's going to be you, not me. See, there's an area where you and I got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to stay drunk in the Spirit. You know, one of the things of the fruits of being filled with the Spirit is peace, joy, and righteousness. Three fruits. Those are the character. We know that there's fruits of the Spirit, but there's that character that says peace, joy, and righteousness. You know, yesterday we had these gentlemen that came out to, we were working on the car, and they came out and tinted the windows on the car, and we got to witness to them. And one of the things that the guy said, he says, man, there's so much peace on you guys. He says, you know, there's just so much peace, he said. And when I shared with my testimony, they were blown away. And there was just an impartation to them of reality. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit shared with me this morning, and there was a grieving of the Holy Spirit in my spirit. He said, there's not enough victories. There's not enough victories. There's not enough victories in the kingdom. I thought, there's not enough victory. In other words, there's plenty of battles, but there's not enough victories. And we don't get condemned for losing battles. The enemy does that. Amen? The enemy beats us up for losing battles, but there's not enough victories in our battles. There should be a place where there is no defeat. It's not an option. Too many people give up. Too many people sell their birthrights for a bowl of porridge. Just like the bear, you know? Yeah, somebody's been sleeping in my bed. People are selling everything and not realizing what's going on. They're giving up because the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy. And there's not enough victories in our battles. Remember, there's three things. We are called to battle. Everyone say, I'm called to battle. That's what you're called to do, battle. If you're not willing to fight, you will not win. The word says we take it by force. The heavenlies are taken by force. Faith is not stagnant. It's active. We are called to battle. Our purpose, there must be a purpose in you besides your purpose, is to fulfill the purpose of Christ. And his purpose was to destroy the works of Satan. That's why he came. Our destiny is to infiltrate the world system through the talents and abilities that God has given us so we can rescue those who are living outside of salvation's truth, which is L-O-S-T, lost. How many of y'all know there's a battle going on? It's amazing when people lose sight that there's a battle going on, they backslide. They go backwards instead of forward. There should be a place where there's no retreat. No retreat. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, would you go there please with me? How many of y'all want to reach a level of victory? There first must be a reality. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And we will hear this over and over. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, listen, we've got to reach another level. We've got to reach another level. Another level, kick more devil, right? In verse 7, and what does it say? It's amazing the White House still doesn't understand that, but we are in a war. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the what? The devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Hello. Here's the battle. Satan and his kingdom. It is a spiritual war. Daily battles. You know, there's a daily battle every day for me and you. We're battling. One of the major things we're battling, we know that there's demonic forces, there's evil forces, but what do they carry? They carry deception. So there's a battle every single day to overcome deception. Every day. You know, everybody sometime has physical problems, struggles, one way or another. Or somebody you know or whatever. You know, they try to address the physical problem or tangible problem with tangible things. We must come to a place where we address the spiritual thing first. Does everybody understand that? See, you can try and fix all your stuff in the physical. It's a bandage. But it can't heal. It takes a long time. We must come step back and realize that what this going on in the physical is attached to something spiritual. And if we don't address the spiritual, the physical always manifests. It always comes back. You can paint it. You can bury it. You can bandage it. But it's always there. It is a realm of influence of the Satan's kingdom that's constantly influencing us. And that battle is consistent, trying to bring us to a place to deceive us. You know, one of the things I share with people, they're not bad. People are not bad. They're deceived. And in that deception, it brings people into bondage. When you accept, when you go fall into the place of deception, you go into bondage. Then you become a servant of darkness and not even know it. We become a welcome mat for Satan's kingdom. We become carnal. And carnal cannot fight physical. So the enemy loves to get you in a carnal state of being. Oh, I got in John chapter 6. Level of victory. John chapter 6. Is everybody there? What's verse 63 say? Would you read it with me? It is the what? Spirit. It is the what? Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are what? They are life. That says the flesh profits nothing, so you cannot fight spiritually in the flesh. It's impossible. So there's something that we must do all the time is to stay filled with the Spirit, but you're not going to stay filled with the Spirit unless you come to the end of yourself again. Everything, again, revolves coming to the end of yourself. That's where Jesus gave us the formula of victory. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. We're going to hear this multiple times in multiple views. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. You know, when I was out in the world, B.C., an addict and an idiot, which means spiritually blinded, no matter what I tried to do, turned to garbage. I tried different dope, didn't work. Different relationships didn't work. Different locations didn't work. Tried different ways of income, they didn't work either. I couldn't outrun my demons. I had to turn around and fight them. And until we try to maneuver according to the ways of the world, we'll constantly overcome. There'll be no victory. Until we turn around and fight. You know, we need to start looking at the area. How about fighting for your spouses, your children? There is a battle. Fighting for the presence of God and the kingdom of God. Fighting for what is righteous. There's a lot of things that are good out there, but they're not righteous. There's more people fighting for what is good because something is good, but not righteous. In Romans 13. You know, one of the things we need to do is be reminded of these things. That's why we're here. These are not Bible studies or training sessions. We need to come out of that religious state of mind. Jesus is not religious. He's the chief, he's the commander of a military operation, and we are involved in a military operation. And there is protocol, there's divine order. You know what? We're not going to stay here forever, and everyone's going to stand before the throne room of God and give account. Nobody escapes that. That's why he says, if you'll give me your life, I'll give you mine. In Romans 13, 14, would you read it with me? But what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts or what? Its desires. In other words, make no provision. So you got to put on Christ. You got to put on his presence. Putting on Christ is also putting on the full armor of God. In 1 John chapter 3. You know, many people didn't even get dressed with the full armor of God. They just got up, had their coffee, their breakfast, got dressed, made sure that their flesh was pretty, and came here. Hey, the Spirit knows all, sees all. In verse 8, it says, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, he who sins is of the what? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifested that he might what? destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that our purpose? If it's not your purpose, then you're out of order. Well, my purpose is to make money. My purpose is to have children. My purpose is to be successful. My purpose is to own a big home. No. Those are attributes. Those are things that God blesses us with. Does everybody understand? That should not be your purpose. Our call is battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, just the same as purpose as Jesus has. If it's not your purpose, you need to change your purposes around, because you won't reach the level of victory. You'll have a limitation on your life. And until these things are removed, that limitation will stay over you to the day you die. You'll reach a place and you can go no further. Many of us reach a place and lose everything and have to go back again and get to that place, lose everything. And that cycle goes on and on and on. Oh, Lord, why? Because you're not listening yet. You're just still doing your will and not my will. You haven't gained my purpose. You're still involved in your purpose. Is everybody okay? Lock the door just in case. The Son of God came to destroy the devil's works. In other words, he came to expose evil influence. Amen? Colossians 1. Well, I just don't believe this stuff. Well, then you have a demon. It's called a spirit of unbelief. Why? Because you're not looking at what the fruit is. Well, I wasn't raised this way. Either was I. But I got born again this way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Would you read it with me? It says something very powerful. He says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now listen, that means it says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. In other words, we share in his victory. Everybody got it? We share in his victory, but we must continue that victory. That doesn't mean we just sit home and twiddle our thumbs and hope for the best. And again, we must continue to put on Christ. Putting on Christ also is being filled with his presence, putting on his glory, putting on the full armor. That's what's so important about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to stay filled so we can fight spiritual fights in the spirit and not in the flesh. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Start at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Is everybody here a teacher? You should be. Why? You should be able to teach what you've learned. If you aren't able to teach what you've learned, then you're not learning nothing. Then you're not receiving. Has everybody got it? You're not receiving. See, receiving says, I'm receiving. When you receive something, you use it. Believe me, if somebody blessed you with a car, you'd use it. Bless you with a $100,000 check, you'd cash it. But the Lord has blessed us with things to use spiritually, to fight spiritually. And people don't use them because they're still carnal-minded. Is everybody okay? In verse 3, read it with me. You what? Therefore must what? Endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus. Now listen, here he calls us a soldier. Amen? We are soldiers. Why? Because there's a military operation going on. This is an eternal kingdom that's infiltrated a carnal realm to rescue those who have been taken by carnality and deception of Satan's power and influence, so that they might come out of that arena, be filled with his presence, put on his armor, take out the Holy Ghost bazooka, and start rescuing others. That's what this is about. Look at verse 4. What does it say? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Hello? Worldly ways, carnal ways. No one entangles themselves with the carnality. Why? Because they can't fight spiritually. You cannot fight the things of the Spirit in the flesh. that he may what? Please him who what? Enlisted him as a soldier. See, you've been enlisted. If you're here, you've been enlisted. Hallelujah. There is a fight. We are soldiers of the flesh. Why? Because then it brings a person in a state of carnality and they cannot fight spiritually. Their mind is constantly set on the things of the world and not the things of the spirit. You know what they're always doing? Protecting themselves. Proving themselves. Promoting themselves. That's called flesh. And the ruler of that arena is called pride. In Ephesians chapter 6. Let's get down to it. We have a kingdom card. It gives you a guideline every day to be able to pray. Putting on the full armor of God. We have a booklet. And in there, there's a kingdom card right in the one of the first few pages. It's a guideline that we have no excuse. If you're involved in here, you have no excuse. You're just being rebellious if you're not willing to do it. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Is everybody there? What does it say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery or the deception of the devil, the evil forces of deception. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Every day is evil. Why? Because the rule of this earth is evil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Truth. That's why half the kids today are walking around with their pants half down. Ain't no truth on them. Pants on the ground. You know what? The Lord says, we're the tail, not the butt. I'm not interested in someone's decorative underwear. Hallelujah. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, right? Stand, gird yourself with truth. In John 8, 32, keep your finger here, Ephesians 6. We're going to fly back and forth a little bit. Oh, hallelujah. John 8, verse 32, somewhere around there. Start at verse 1, or 31, sorry. Verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, the word believe means the what? Follow. Means the what? Follow. So if you say you're a believer, not a follower, are you a? You're a liar. In the eyes of God, you lie. He says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now, listen, knowing the truth, when you know something, do you use it or not? Yeah. So see, understand the scripture. There's a lot of people say, well, I know the truth. Yeah, well, you don't stink and use it. You don't put it in action. You just, yeah, I read the truth today. I know it. Good. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. I'll read it again. How about use it? There's a lot of people that can read the Bible. They memorize the Bible. They can tell you the page numbers. What's what? And they still don't have victory. That's truth. Not only the knowledge of truth, but the person of truth. That means you got to have a relationship. What's the next thing it says? It says, having put on, gird your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Oh, righteousness. You know, that breastplate of righteousness. Let me tell you one of the things about the breastplate of righteousness. You know what it protects? Heart. It's supposed to protect the heart of Christ because you're not supposed to have your heart. You're supposed to have his. There should God's in his hand should be your heart, not yours. Yours and your here should be his heart, not yours. There should always be an exchange of heart. Your heart should always be delivered into the hand of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Breastplate of righteousness. Philippians chapter 1. Did it just get warm in here or something? What happened? Look at everybody's hot. How many of y'all are hot? I like an agreement. What, do we blow a fuse or something? Whew. How many of y'all are hot in here? Good, stay hot. Stay on fire for Jesus, okay? Yeah, let's turn some fans on, Holmes. It'll be cutting those things off. Who told you that? Uh-oh, my wife's going to try and freeze me out now. I'm going to blow my pages off. Lower that. I understand. Keep it low, hon. Thank you. Y'all feel better now? Me too. You know, the fire keeps going with what? See? We're going to keep the fire going in here. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Breastplate of righteousness. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and of all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being what? Filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Wow. So that you carry His heart, not yours anymore. Let's go a little further. Ephesians. Having shod your feet with the gospel, the preparation of peace. Those are shoes. In other words, that you are sure-footed. Everyone say sure-footed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Decaying, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let me share something with you. This is how you get identity. What? Through what Christ says. We are sure-footed. Why? Because we know who we are. Does everybody get this? You're not sure-footed if you don't know who you are. Is everybody okay? Identity. One of the things the enemy wants to always do is steal your identity. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, verse 16, taking the shield of what? Faith, which is able to quench all the deceptions, fiery darts, voice of the strangers, of the wicked one. Faith, Romans 10. It is a shield. Romans 10, 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So if you don't read the word or hear the word, are you going to build up faith? No. So faith is a shield. It protects the influence of the unseen and exposes it to make it seen. Why? Because faith is actually spiritual sight. Does everybody understand that? Faith is spiritual sight. In other words, when God tells you something, you see it. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I what? See my Father do it first. There's no such thing as blind faith. No such thing. Well, I'm walking in faith. No, you're walking in assumption. Because if it's faith, then you see it. When God speaks, you see. And what you see, remember, what did He do? He's told Abraham, right? Wasn't it accounted to him as righteousness because he obeyed? Why? Because he walked in faith. Why? Because when God spoke, he saw it and he did it. Is everybody okay? There's another area of building up your faith, and that's in the book of Jude. In verse 20, is everybody there? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying what? Listen, praying in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean just quoting Scripture. It means praying in tongues. It's actually the seventh part of the armor of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Seven means complete and perfect, right? And what's the next one? It says what? Ephesians 6. Keep your finger there. And take the what? Helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Romans 12. In verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. The helmet of salvation. Creating new memories and monitoring your thoughts. Why? Because now the Word of God is able to compare whether you're able to compare things. You're able to discern things, what is of God and what's not of God. And what's the next one? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Amen. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the sword of the Spirit. Now, you know, one of the things about the sword of the Spirit is using the sword of the Spirit causes us to engage in attack. We use the weapons of God, the weapons of His Word, His name, His blood. And Matthew 16:19, go there for a second, please. I know we're getting a lot of information. That's good. You can get the CD and go over all this because we ain't done yet. Matthew 16:19, would you read it with me? And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock or revelation I will build my church, which is the anointing. How many of y'all know the Lord built a church on the anointing? He didn't build it on some pope or man. 18 and 19. Sorry. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. Listen, the gates of hell cannot come against the anointing. So if you're dressed in the anointing, you know what? You're going to have victory. Why? Because you're going to be dressed with the presence of God, the power of God, eternal truth, full armor of God. And look at this. And he says in verse 19, and I will give you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be what? Loosed in heaven, man. People don't even use the keys. The only keys they're looking for is the key to the house, the key to the car, the key to the bank account. So the sword of the Spirit is for me and you to attack, bind, loose, use the Word of God. Why? Because it's a sword. Is everybody okay? And of course, what's the last part it says, which is the seventh part? And praying always with all prayer and supplication, where? In the Spirit, not in the flesh, not in the carnal, not with your understanding. That means praying in the Spirit, which we just talked about, Jude. Why? Because it lifts up your most holy faith. Does everybody get that? Okay, and I'll go to Genesis 3. Are you in a hurry today? Oh, good. Genesis 3. Is everybody there? Verse 1, let's read it. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. You know, the serpent will outwit you in a second. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you what? Touch it. That's an agreement. Touch it. People touch things with agreement. Lest you what? Die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So he called God a liar. So you must understand that the powers of darkness, their influence, is always going to try to get you to touch and agree to rebel against what God says. He said, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But actually their eyes would have been closed to the spirit realm. They would no longer be able to see the Lord, nor the serpent or powers of darkness anymore. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. One of the things that the serpent wanted to do is use deception to disarm them. Does everybody get it? He wanted to what? Disarm them. Why? Because they had the God's presence. They were glorified. The serpent could not touch them. The only thing he can do is speak to them to try to get them to agree to disarm them. Is everybody all right? And in this, it's very powerful because then it says that they sold themselves fig leaves and made themselves coverings, right? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why did they hear? Because they could no longer see. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God Almighty among the trees of the garden. And the Lord said and called out to Adam, where you at? Where you be? Like he didn't know. And then and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, Adam sent him, and I was what? Afraid because I was what? Naked. He was disarmed, totally stripped of God's presence. See, that's what the enemy wants to do to me and you. He wants to disarm your full armor. He wants to undress you with the full armor. And of course, and the Lord said to him, who told you that you were afraid or you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Does everybody see this? The serpent disarmed them by undermining them. He disarmed them from the presence of holiness and righteousness. He disarmed them. He unclothed them by deception. He undressed them of the full armor of God. Why? Because they wore the full armor of God. So then the Lord, before he removed them from the garden, he had to dress them with creation to restore covenant. He had to kill an animal, take the blood, life for life, and dress them to restore covenant. Would you turn to Matthew 7? These are a few things that the enemy likes to challenge us to disarm us. I found that Matthew 7 was quite unique. And Jesus spoke about this. In Matthew 7, in verse 1 and 2, it says, judge not that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen? So, when you go to verse 5, he explains it. He said, hypocrite, first remove the what? Plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So in other words, if you're judging someone but still doing what that person's doing, you're going to be judged yourself. Amen? We're to judge fruits. I'm a fruit inspector. If your fruits stink, you won't get a few, you're away from me. We're to bear good fruit. Amen? These are challenges that disarm us and undress us. That's why you got to be careful, not only what you judge, but what you say. In verse 6, it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. A dog is demonized, carnal people. Nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Let me share with you this. This is associations. Be careful what you associate with. Why? Because it will easily bring discouragement. Don't give what beautiful nuggets that God has given you to somebody that's going to trample them. You know, the enemy will try to draw them out of you too so he can trample them. Look what they did. They tried to challenge Jesus in many ways, didn't they? They challenged him. Man, you challenge God enough, he's going to eventually challenge you. In verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and a door will be open. Let me share something with you, very important. Too many people assume and don't ask. Well, I just believe the Lord will. No, man, did you ask? Ask. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Ask, you shall receive. Well, man, you know, I just thought that. No, man, stop thinking. Ask. There's a place where you get with the Lord where there's not a need to ask because you already know what he's going to answer. But the things that you are uncertain of, you go seek. You ask. This assumption's got to stop. It gets people in a lot of trouble. Well, I just assume God will. Why, well, you know. No, that's not faith. Amen? In verse 12. So we just talked about what? Three things. Verse 12, fourth thing. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You want to do, look at what you sow is what you what? Reap. So what one of the things the enemy wants you to do is sow in the flesh so you reap corruption and he has access to you. These are things that disarm us. He'll challenge you to disarm you. The fifth thing in verse 13 and 14, it says what? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who what? Find it. Listen, there's a cost of victory. It's costly. And that cost is to come to the end of ourself. That is the cost. It says it's narrow and difficult. If we're not willing to come to the end of ourselves, if we're not willing to exchange our life for his life, we won't have victory. We'll easily be swayed, easily deceived. If you're not willing to learn, you're going to end up getting burned again. We're here to learn. That's our, isn't it? We're here to learn. If we're not here to learn, then what are we doing here? Just showing up? Yeah, just to say I went to church Sunday and hope it will feel good. Yeah, I went to church Sunday. Felt good. Well, what are you doing now? Oh, yeah, it felt good Sunday, but today I got something else going on. No. See, it doesn't last unless it's daily, daily, daily. It's our responsibility to maintain. Verse 15 and 16, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear what? Bad fruit. In other words, we need to have discernment. One of the things the enemy is going to try to do is get you into a place of false deception, false areas of your life where a false belief system will promote a what? False perception. You know, people sometimes believe everything they hear and don't search it out themselves. Did you hear about what's what and how? And they believe what they hear. Or they believe a new doctrine. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That flawed belief system will promote a flawed perception, and people will see things differently than what God sees them. So we need to have and maintain a discernment and be careful. In verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the what? Well, you got to be willing to do the will of God. Just do it. Ask. Amen. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will what? Liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Let me share something with you about the rock. That's the anointing. It's a representation of a person named Jesus who is the carrier of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Why? You got to look at that as being dressed with the full armor. It's the image of Christ. It's the presence of Christ. In verse 24, let's go to 29. Verse 25, or 26? 26. Thank you. Pick a number, any number. Hallelujah. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is an idiot, or be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now look at this. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having what? Authority. Not as a scribe or scholar. Thus says the Lord. All of these religious gurus. Authority. There's a people with a lot of knowledge, but no authority. Because they've exchanged the presence of God for just knowledge. That's called letter. The letter kills and the spirit brings what? Life. 2 Corinthians 4. Those are about 8 things that the enemy will challenge us to disarm us. One of the things he likes to get you into a place of disrespect to authority. Disrespecting authority will disarm you. Just a couple more scriptures and then you can go home and eat popcorn. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Are you an earthen vessel? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. In other words, he's trying to if we don't come to the end of ourselves, he can't express himself. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. We want to reach this level of victory where there's constant victories, no defeat. 1 Thessalonians 4. In verse 3. Let's speak it together. For this is the will of God, your what? Sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality and that you should know how to what? Possess your own vessel. Don't be a busybody. Take care of yourself first. in sanctification and in honor. That's separation unto God. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Not that no one should take advantage of you and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. One of the things we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit. We are vessels with authority. In 1 John chapter 4, and we'll close there. Again, I want to explain the anointing. The anointing is the eternal power, presence, and truth of God Almighty. The eternal power, presence, and truth. Power, presence, and truth. And all of that is getting dressed with the full armor of God, his presence. See, so it's not just knowledge, it's truth. It's the person, the character of Christ carried in the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, would you read it with me? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Error. So we want to reach this level of victory. Why? Because there needs to be more victories in the kingdom. More, more, and more. Every day is a battle. Defeat's not an option. Either is retreat. Amen? You know, one of the things that we got to be willing to do is change. If we're not willing to change, you know, people just, I'm afraid to change. Well, then you're going to stay in the same stinky condition you're in. Change. Change is a choice, and it's a part of cooperation. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, I pray for each and every one here this morning that there'd be not only a revelation, but impartation, but illumination. That their eyes would see all the way through. That there would be a self-examination. There'd be a conviction and change. That there'd be an encouragement. And that there'd be an increase in faith to each and every one here, Lord. Lord, I pray for boldness to your people here this morning. And those that are watching and those that are listening. I pray that boldness, that you take it by force. That you begin to hate evil and stop petting it. Stop compromising, being complacent or lazy. But stand up for what is righteous, giving honor to the one who made you, created you, rescued you, delivered you from darkness, and placed you in this glorious light so that he can express himself through you. And that you would fall into that area of knowing your call, your purpose, and your destiny. And rescue souls, that there be a thirst and hunger in you, not only for God's presence, but to not only do his will, but to rescue those who've been taken captive. And that the anointing of Christ would flow through each and every one, with signs and wonders following. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus.